aerial view of a neighborhood. In a small kitchen, a woman in her early 30s chops vegetables. She stops chopping and rubs her hands together. She turns around to the stove behind her and stirs a pot of soup with a wooden spoon. She tastes the soup. She puts the lid back on the soup. The woman picks up her phone and makes a call. A broody man in his 30s answers.
Hey, just me. You busy?
Kinda.
Tough day.
Yeah.
Working on that big project.
You almost done?
Just finishing up.
Hey, good. Can you stop by the store on your way home? I'm making a soup and we're out of paprika and cumin.
Sure thing.
Thanks. Love you.
Love you too.
Now at the man in a warehouse. Camera pulls back, revealing the man holding a gun.
Now.
Pointed at a man.
Bob.
Bound and gagged in a chair.
Let's talk about you and your scam. The boss is pissed.
Bob.
Sorry? Did you just say sorry? Boss doesn't do sorry, Bob.
Terrified, Bob squirms. The man steps back and raises his gun. He fires. Bob's head lulls to the side. Blackout. Real One Entertainment presents My Father's Other Family. Now a large suburban home. Daytime. In a living room, a dark-haired woman in her early 30s stands in front of a fireplace looking at a photograph of herself and an older man. Sadly, she stares down at the photograph. A handsome man in his early 30s enters. The man.
Excuse me, ma'am. Your wainscoting's officially installed. All we gotta do now is get those cabins up.
She looks at him sadly.
Hey, Shelby, what's the matter?
Shelby.
Nothing, I'm just being silly.
Hey, it's me.
They both sit on the couch.
Talk to me.
It's my dad's birthday this weekend. Sometimes it still hits me that he's gone. He's the only family I had left. And ever since my mom passed away, he's been my rock, my entire world. And now that I'm moving into his house, it just feels so big and empty without him here.
Hey, you're going to be okay.
Shelby strokes his cheek with the back of her hand.
Thank you. You're so good to me.
I do what I can. Hold on. I'll be right back.
He exits, then returns with a gift bag.
What's that?
Birthday present.
He sits on the couch.
For who?
For you.
But it's...
But nothing. I know you don't normally get presents on other people's birthdays. I just thought this year you might need one.
Sometimes you're too sweet to me.
Impossible.
She takes the bag. She takes out a DNA testing kit.
Thank you. But what is it?
Oh, it's so cool. It's a test to find out your entire family tree. I mean, you said you never really knew your dad's side of the family. So, this might help. If you don't like
it, I love it.
Yeah.
I love you.
Shelby kisses him.
I love you too.
Next, in a high-end restaurant kitchen, Shelby works as a chef. Sous chef. Shelby.
Make sure you prep enough zucchini for the special.
Yes, chef.
She hands the sous chef a bowl of zucchini.
Two more. Fill it all day, please.
We need to hire some new wait staff.
A woman enters with a binder.
Hello to you too.
Sorry, Genbot was in business mode.
No worries. I know that model has a few glitches.
You know, I'd have a really good comeback if you weren't holding a knife right now. Seriously, though, I think it's time we expand the wait staff.
Jen follows Shelby through the kitchen.
Can you afford that?
I just reviewed the numbers from last month, and it was our best month ever. Just like the month before it and the month before that.
Will new hires make any of our vets lose shifts?
I'll make sure it doesn't.
Let's do it.
Great. Actually, do you have a minute to talk? Maybe grab a cup of coffee before we open?
Yeah, sure. John, take over, please.
Yes, chef.
John stirs a small pot of sauce. Next, Shelby and Jen sit at a table in the restaurant dining room. Shelby.
So, what's up?
Jen.
I just wanted to check in, see how you're doing, you know, with your dad's birthday coming up. Sorry, if you don't want to talk about it.
No, no. I'm glad you asked. Really, I had a rough time with it last night, actually. But Luke really helped me through it.
Of course he did.
Shelby sips her coffee.
He's always so good at doing exactly the right thing.
Except for when to propose.
Jen!
Oh, sorry, I guess Jen bot's in honesty mode now. The guy needs to wake up and lock you down while he's got the chance.
All in good time.
Later that evening, Shelby's house. Luke and Shelby in the living room. Shelby.
So how does this family tree thing work?
Luke takes the instructions from the kit.
Let's see.
Luke.
Okay, simple enough.
Shelby swabs a saliva sample.
First take the swab and brush the inside of your cheek. Then place the swab into the plastic tube and lock in the cap.
She puts the swab in the tube.
Next, seal it up in the envelope provided. Then place the pre-addressed envelope in your mailbox.
Shelby seals the envelope.
Shipped via priority mail to our facility for processing. At which time, our scientists will sequence your unique DNA profile and compare it with our database.
Now back in the restaurant kitchen, Shelby checks her phone.
In just a few weeks' time, you'll have your results.
She receives an email announcing the results of her DNA test. And sometime later, Shelby returns home from work. Luke cuts wood in the living room. He looks up at Shelby.
Hey.
He gets up and crosses to her. Luke.
It's gotten into you.
Shelby.
I got it.
Got what?
My family tree. I got the email.
What did it say?
I haven't looked at it yet. I was hoping we could do that together.
Well, show me. Come on.
Okay. Okay.
Have a look.
Now they look at the results on Shelby's laptop.
Okay, my results. This is amazing. Look how far back it goes.
She looks at the family tree.
There's my family tree. Wait, what's this?
Where?
This.
She points at a branch.
It says my dad had another daughter.
Oh my God, you're right.
No. Did my dad have an affair? Was he married before?
Shelby stares at the screen.
Did he know about this? And if he did, why didn't he tell me?
There's no way we can know any of those answers right now. I promise you, we'll figure this out.
Yeah, of course.
Sometime later, the restaurant office. Jen.
Wow, I can't believe this.
Shelby.
Me neither.
They sit at Shelby's desk.
But I called and checked and no mistake.
So what are you going to do?
Nothing. I mean, I think I...
Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, opening the email feels like it's turned my entire life upside down. If I go looking for this woman, who knows what might happen?
Well, the way I see it is this. You've got some questions, right?
Yeah.
And those questions are really what's turned your world on end?
Sure.
And if that's so, the only way to get things right side up is to get some answers.
Oh. What if I don't like the answers I get?
Well, it's either that or spend your whole life driving yourself crazy wondering about those questions. I know which one I'd pick.
Later that night, Shelby's house. Shelby stares at her laptop screen. She writes a name on a piece of paper, Rose McHenry. She Googles Rose and finds a news article. Headline, waitress Rose McHenry, witness to car crash in front of Breezy Corners Diner. Luke enters.
Hey, there's a search going along.
Shelby.
I found her, or at least where she works.
Luke comes around to look at the laptop screen.
She was interviewed as a witness to a wreck last month. They mentioned she saw it from the diner where she works.
She lives in Mascot. That's only one town over.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna try to meet her tomorrow.
Oh. Do you want me to go with you?
Oh, I think I should probably do this on my own.
The next day, Breezy Corners Diner. Shelby pulls into the parking lot in her Audi. She parks her car. Shelby looks at a print copy of the article. She pulls down her visor and looks in the mirror. She puts the visor up. Now Shelby gets out of her car and walks toward the restaurant. She enters the restaurant and approaches the counter where a bored 17-year-old hostess plays on her phone. Shelby.
Hi, is Rose McHenry working?
The hostess barely glances at Shelby and nods in the direction of a waitress cleaning a table. Slowly and nervously, Shelby approaches the waitress. Shelby.
Excuse me?
The waitress looks up.
Are you Rose McHenry?
She is the woman who is making soup.
Yeah.
Rose.
Do I know you? No. But I think I might be your sister.
A little later, they sit in a booth having coffee. Rose looks at photos on Shelby's phone. Rose.
Yep. That's him. No question. So, he's dead?
Shelby.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. It's okay. I hadn't seen him since I was, like, 10. I figured he was dead a long time ago. So he just vanished? Well, he was never around that much to begin with. He'd pop in and out of nowhere, arms loaded with presents, and then about a week later he'd be gone. I remember him traveling a lot for work when I was a kid. Makes sense. Yeah. And then when I was around 9 or 10, he just stopped coming. I asked my mom, but she didn't know anything.
Rose sips her coffee.
My mother died when I was in middle school, and after that, Dad stopped traveling. He said he needed to stay home more. I see. Maybe I shouldn't have come. No. I'm glad I finally know the truth. Can I make a proposal? Shoot. Let's try to talk about something. Anything other than that. Literally anything. Okay. Like what? I don't know. How did you get into the restaurant business? It's pretty wild that we both wound up with careers in food. Career. Judging by that car outside, you have a career. I've got a job. What's the difference? Well, I assume you don't have to pick up shifts at the laundromat to make ends meet.
Shelby's taken aback.
I'm sorry, I didn't... Don't worry about it. I've been doing it for most of my life. Ever since my mom got sick my junior year and I had to drop out.
It's terrible. Is she okay now?
Depends on how full you see the glass. She has chronic nerve pain, but we make it through the day.
Rose rubs a thumb on her hand.
I'd do anything for her.
I can't even imagine how tough it would be to drop out of college.
Me neither. I never went. I dropped out my junior year of high school.
I'm sorry.
Like I said, don't worry about it. You know how I said it depends on how full you see the glass?
Mm-hmm.
I'm an optimist, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah, I've had some tough times, but I've got my mom and my boyfriend. And hey, today I got a sister. Who knows what tomorrow might bring?
Shelby raises her mug.
I'll cheers to that.
A teabag tag dangles from the side. They clink mugs. Both sip their drinks. Now Rose walks Shelby to the restaurant exit.
Bye.
Shelby walks toward her car and looks back. Rose stands in the restaurant doorway. Shelby checks her phone. A message from Luke. How'd it go? She replies, great. She looks up from her phone back toward the restaurant and waves at Rose. Rose waves back. Shelby gets into her car and drives away. Rose watches Shelby drive away, then re-enters the restaurant. Sometime later, Rose returns home to a far more modest house than Shelby's. She enters the house and greets an older woman seated in a chair in her pajamas. Rose.
Hi, Mom.
Mrs. McHenry.
Dear, how was work today?
Oh, that's good. How are you feeling?
I had a bit of a rough morning, but I'm fine now. Is Travis coming over later?
Rose looks down at the keys in her hand. She rubs her thumb on the keys.
Rose?
Then Rose looks up.
Yeah, he'll be over in just a second for dinner.
Something wrong?
Now at the dining table, Rose and her mother have tea.
So you didn't have any idea?
No, not at all. I mean, I had my suspicions. I wasn't foolish enough to think your father was being faithful when he pulled his little disappearing acts, but another family? Entirely? I mean, we didn't even know his real name.
I'm sorry, Mom.
Thank you, dear.
Let me get you some more tea.
Her mom offers the mug. And Grimace is in pain.
It's nothing. It's just a flare-up.
Look at your meds.
A little later, Mrs. McHenry lays in bed. Rose brings her a book and a glass of water.
Hey. Brought you your book and a fresh glass of water.
She sets it on the night table with her mother's meds.
Thank you for everything.
Rose sits on her mother's bedside.
You're welcome. I'll be Travis.
You go ahead, dear. I'll be fine.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, too.
They hold hands for a moment. Rose gets up and exits the room. Next in the kitchen, Rose makes dinner. Travis.
So how'd your mom take it?
The man who killed Bob.
Okay.
Rose.
All things considered, we didn't really get a chance to finish discussing.
Travis sits on the counter.
So what's this, some...
Rose chops vegetables.
Shelby Parker.
Right, Shelby.
Travis is shifty.
What's she like?
Nice, I guess. She was friendly and everything, but...
But what?
I don't know, she was just one of those people who you feel nervous talking to. She was just so pretty and poised. She had such a nice dress on, I didn't feel like I was dressed up enough to talk to her. Plus, she was... She's driving this fancy car.
Rose offers Travis a taste of what she's cooking.
What kind of car was it?
I don't know. A nice one.
He tastes the sauce.
Leather seat satellite radio.
He nods approval. Rose returns to the stove. While Rose's back is turned toward him, Travis takes out his phone and searches for Shelby. He finds an article, local restaurant wins prestigious award. He checks the article. He looks at photos of Shelby. He enlarges one of Shelby wearing an expensive necklace. Travis takes a good look at the necklace.
So, what are you going to do now?
I thought I'd start by asking her to dinner. What do you think?
I think that is a great idea.
Now back at Shelby's house, on the patio. Shelby.
You guys ready to taste?
Serves food to Jen and
yes.
Luke. She sets a tray on a coffee table.
What do we got here?
Tippity. Roast of red peppers, feta cheese, and thyme.
Shelby sits beside Luke. They sample the tippity.
What do you guys think?
Jen.
Amazing.
Luke.
Agreed. You know? Taste testing is definitely the best part of being your boyfriend.
Shelby kisses Luke.
Oh, wait. Make that a sec.
So sweet.
Shelby pulls out her phone.
It's her.
She gets up and steps away to take the call.
Hey.
Rose.
Hi, it's me.
Intercuts.
Sorry if this is a bad time.
Rose is at home.
Oh, no, it's great.
Okay, good.
I was just thinking that maybe we could go to dinner some night soon.
If you're free, of course.
That would be wonderful. Great.
Sometime later, Shelby's house.
I'll get it.
Shelby answers the door. She greets Rose.
Hi. Come in.
Rose.
This house is just wow. Thank you. You should come over for dinner when Luke's done renovating.
Luke enters.
Oh.
Hey.
Luke, this is Rose. Rose, Luke.
Luke.
Shelby's boyfriend.
Hi, nice to meet you.
You too.
I'll be right back. I'm just going to grab my coat and then we can head out.
Okay.
So what are your plans for the evening?
No plans. I just gotta finish some work here and then head back to mine, hit the hay.
Well then, you should come out with us.
Oh no, no, I couldn't intrude. It's fine.
Ready? Yeah, I was just telling Luke he should come along. But apparently going home to bed is more fun than hanging out with us.
Is that so? Mm-hmm. Are we that boring?
I'm not even dressed for a place like Savini's.
Well, we can go somewhere else.
I've got the perfect place.
All right, somewhere else it is.
Perfect.
Let's go.
They head out.
I'll drive.
Okay.
All right. Ooh.
They get into Rose's car and pull out of the driveway. Now a figure emerges from the other side of the house. It's Travis, dressed in black. He approaches the front door. Travis picks the lock. The door opens. He glances over his shoulder and wipes his feet on the mat. Travis enters the house. Now Shelby, Rose, and Luke are at a bar. Luke.
So everyone around the table tries a bite, right? They're all trying to figure out what's in the sauce. It's like a game.
Like, name that ingredient?
Exactly. So it's me and Shelby and then like 12 Michelin stars worth of French chefs. And they're all like, I do not know. Perhaps it is... Then Shelby takes a bite and then rattles off like a dozen ingredients. Like, allspice. Cloves, chilies, chocolate.
I got lucky.
Shelby.
None of those French guys had ever tasted a Mexican mole sauce before.
She is just being modest.
Rose.
I can't believe you got to go to Paris.
Shelby is quite the world traveler.
I've gotten lucky.
Paris, Joël Robuchon. New York, with Eric Rappaire. L.A. with Susan Fenega. Atlanta with... What's that guy with the...
Hugh Atchison.
Right.
With the unibrow, yes.
She's been everywhere.
And in the end, I knew my heart was in my hometown. So I had to move back to Knoxville.
Which I know made your dad very happy. I'm sorry.
Rose.
No, it's fine. I think this is all just gonna take some getting used to. Yeah. For all of us.
Meanwhile, back at Shelby's, Travis moves through the house with a flashlight. He looks at some items on an end table. Then he starts rummaging around in a dresser drawer. Finding nothing he wants, he closes the drawer. Now he opens another drawer. He takes out a red case and opens it. It contains the glittering necklace Shelby wore in the photo. He closes the case and puts it back in the drawer. Now back at the bar. Luke.
So where's Travis tonight?
Rose.
He had to work a double shift. He's had someone called in sick.
Oh, that's rough. We have to bring him along next time.
Shelby.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Oh, let me know how much to buy.
No, don't worry about it. I got it.
No, I can pay for
Rose. The car. We're family. It's the least I can do.
Please.
Okay. Thanks. My pleasure.
Shelby gets out her credit card. Now Travis enters Shelby's home office. He looks around at the shelves of books. Then he looks in a cabinet. minding nothing, he closes the doors. Now Shelby, Luke, and Rose return. Luke.
Hey, thanks for driving, Rose. That was amazing.
Yeah, that was a perfect place. Thank you.
Now in the office, Travis looks through things on top of a large, heavy wooden desk. Then he opens a desk drawer and removes a file. Inside is the Tennessee Last Will and Testament of Alan Wayne Parker. He reads through the document and taps it with his gloved finger. Travis smiles.
Jackpot.
This was so fun.
So fun.
Rose and Shelby hug on the doorstep.
Next time, I demand to meet Travis.
Deal. Well, I will leave you two alone.
Bye, Rose.
Bye.
Good night.
Rose heads off. In the office, Travis hears voices. He hides behind the door.
Well, that was a successful test drive.
I think so.
On the doorstep, Luke kisses Shelby goodnight.
Good night, hon.
Luke goes off. Shelby enters the house and closes the door. She drops her keys on a table and takes off her coat. She goes into her bedroom and turns on a light. Shelby pulls off her heels. She pauses, then drops the second shoe on the floor. Shelby looks out into the hallway. She carefully moves out of the room. Shelby looks around the house. She pauses in front of a closed double door. Shelby opens the door to the office. She closes a shutter on an open window. She looks around the office but finds nothing. Shelby exits the office. The photo of her and her dad lays on an end table. The next day at the restaurant, Jen.
I was going to start training the new waitstaff next Monday, but I'm having a hard time finding good candidates.
Shelby doesn't hear her.
Shelby Parker. Is there a Shelby Parker in the building?
Sorry. Shelby.
I was thinking about dinner with Rose.
I thought you said it went well.
They carry to-go coffees.
I mean, it wasn't perfect, but still. Even if I just met her, I feel like everything's so natural.
That's great.
Yeah, really is. She feels like family. Sorry, what were you saying about the new waitstaff?
Let's go to the office.
Okay.
Now at Rose's house, Rose's mother is vacuuming.
Mom!
She turns off the vacuum. Rose.
I can do that when I get home.
Mrs. McHenry.
Nonsense. You work so hard. It's the least I can do.
Mom, you take care of me, but I also get to take care of you.
Okay.
She turns on the vacuum, but the fuse blows.
Not again.
Now at the fuse box. Rose tries to reset the circuit. It doesn't work. Frustrated, she smacks the panel and closes the door. Rose pulls out her phone and calls Travis.
Hey, man.
Power's out again. Can you come take a look?
Intercuts.
I'm busy right now. I can come by later, though.
Not sure I'll be any more help than last time.
Can you just come anyway? We can't afford another electrician.
Fine, I'll be by later.
Thanks.
Rose hangs up. Now at the Breezy Corners Family Restaurant. At a table, Travis fidgets with a business card. Fred Sputton is attorney at law. On the other side of the table, Fred closes a file. Fred.
It's ironclad.
Travis.
How ironclad?
Ironclad enough that no one but Shelby Parker, no one but Shelby Parker is getting anywhere near this inheritance.
But if an heir were to take her to court?
They would lose, I guarantee it.
Are you guaranteed I'd beat that burglary rap?
There's guarantees and then there's guarantees. And I guarantee that if you take this to court, the only person making money will be me. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a lunch date with a meatball sub.
What if someone dies without a will?
I'm sorry?
Well, you said this will was ironclad. But what would happen if someone died without a will? Like a young person?
Well, it goes to their next of kin.
Meaning?
Their closest family member, like a parent or a child.
Or a sister.
Sure.
Guess I should give me a will then, huh?
Well, if you're serious, you know how to reach me.
Thanks, buddy.
Travis gets up from the table. Later that day, the McHenry house. Rose to her mother.
Just don't know if it's a great idea.
Travis appears.
Don't know if what's a great idea.
Did you get the power back?
Yeah. Should be sorted now.
Mrs. McHenry turns on a lamp. Mrs. M.
Thank you so much, dear.
No problem. So what were we all talking about?
I was just saying we should invite Shelby over for a visit.
Mom?
Why not?
She'd probably love that.
See, Rose?
You really think so?
Give her a call.
Sometime later, evening, Shelby approaches Rose's front door. She taps on the door with the knocker. Rose answers the door.
Hi. Hi. Come on in.
Shelby follows Rose inside. Rose.
I know, it's not much.
Mrs. M.
Now, Rose, I'm sure Shelby doesn't mind if our couch isn't this year's style.
Shelby.
Of course. Classics never go out of style.
I knew I'd like you.
You must be Thora.
Hi, Shelby. Nice to meet you. I've heard so much about you.
Now they play cards and drink wine.
Why did the Scarecrow win an award? He was outstanding in his field.
That's the worst joke ever.
Whose turn is it? It's my turn. Here I go.
Okay. Gin.
What? No. Oh. She's gone. Oh. No, I think we need to pick a game where Rose and I stand a chance.
Told you she's a hustler. Mom's always got everything mapped out. Three moves ahead. Refills on wine, anyone?
Rose goes for more wine.
Sure.
Thank you, dear. So, what should we play next? We could do a modified game of hearts.
I've changed my mind. Let's play gin rummy. Huh? I'm gonna win a hand, even if it takes all night. Thora?
Shelby covers Thora's hand with hers.
I know I've told Rose this already, but I just want to say that I'm sorry.
For what, dear?
For everything my dad put you through. It must have been hard on you.
Shelby, the only one with any responsibility in this situation is your father. You had nothing to do with it. So, apology not accepted.
Apology retracted. You know, I understand now.
What?
Why Rose says she would do anything for you.
Later that evening, Shelby is leaving.
Yeah, me too. Good night, Thora.
In his truck, Travis watches Shelby's house from across the street.
Thank you.
Rose and Shelby step outside. Travis watches them. Rose.
Want me to walk you to your car? Oh, no, I'm just parked up the stairs in the lot. Safe trip. Good night.
Good night.
Shelby walks away. Across the street, Travis pulls out a knife and slips out of his car. Shelby takes out her keys. She drops them on the ground. As she bends to pick them up, she looks behind her over her shoulder. She turns around and Travis grabs her. Travis throws Shelby on the ground. Shelby rakes Travis's face with her keys. Shelby manages to get away. She scrambles to her feet and runs to the car. She gets in the car. She puts the key in the ignition and starts the car. Travis shatters the driver's window. Travis tries to grab her through the window, but she drives, dragging him alongside. Travis lets go and somersaults on the ground. Shelby gets away. Fade to black. Now at the hospital, an examination room. Shelby speaks to a detective.
He just came out of nowhere. Shelby.
Miss, you can't just come.
It's okay.
Shelby.
She's my sister.
Rose embraces Shelby. Rose.
You okay?
Yeah, just a few bumps and bruises.
What happened? They said you were attacked.
Detective.
You think it was an attempted carjacking? Detective Laura Maples. I'll be handling the case.
Well, did you catch the guy?
No, not yet. But we did get a blood sample from the car. Your sister can really handle herself.
I just got lucky.
Between that and the description that Shelby gave to our sketch artist, we'll have no problem finding him.
You mean you got a good look at his face?
It was dark, but I don't think I'll ever forget that face.
Ms.
Rose McHenry.
Ms. McHenry, did you see anything suspicious?
No, nothing.
Well, I think I've got all the information I need. You have my number if anything else comes to mind.
Thank you.
And don't worry, either of you. We're gonna get this creep.
Detective Maples exits.
Are you sure you're okay?
Yeah, I'm just a little shaken up.
Where's Luke? Do you need me to call him?
No, he's here. He's just pulling the car around.
I'm so sorry. I should have walked you out.
This isn't your fault.
I know. It's just, I only just found you, and for a second, I thought.
They embrace again. Then Shelby lays back.
I'm just glad you're here.
Hey.
Luke enters.
Ready to go? The car pulled around front.
Rose just got here. It's okay. Go. Need some rest.
Okay.
Hey. Be careful when you get home, okay? I will.
Luke and Rose help Shelby to her feet.
Put on my shoes. Oof. Baby, can you grab my purse?
Yeah, sure.
Luke grabs her purse and they exit.
Good night. Good night.
Now left alone in the room, Rose takes out her phone. She makes a call. Meanwhile, Shelby and Luke return to Shelby's home. They enter the house. Luke closes the door and puts the keys on the side table. He helps Shelby off with her coat.
Oh, thank you.
You want me to make you a cup of tea to help you relax?
No, that's okay.
Okay.
Actually, there is one thing.
Yeah, what's that?
Could you say the name?
Of course. No, until you catch this guy, I'm gonna be right here.
Luke and Shelby embrace.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you too.
Luke kisses Shelby's forehead. Bare branches against an overcast sky. Now in a secluded forested area, Travis stands beside his white truck. Rose's car pulls up nearby. Rose gets out and walks over to the truck. She slaps Travis across the face. Travis.
Hey.
Rose.
You idiot.
How
How did you not finish that job?
Hey, I was...
Shut up! This is just like what happened with that last scam you tried to pull.
That's not fair. Bob said
I don't give a damn what Bob said. You screwed up that scam, and now you screwed up again.
Rose ticks her head.
It's simple. You just had to find a way for us to get that bitch's money.
I did! I broke in like you said. I got the will. I figured out the plan.
But then, when you had to kill her, you screwed up. You didn't just leave her alive. You let her see your face. You left blood in her car!
Rose, it's fine. I can fix this, It's fine. Just like I did with Bob. Okay? You're the boss. Whatever you want.
Fine.
Rose shoots Travis. He falls to the ground. She shoots again.
That's what I want.
Now at Shelby's restaurant. Shelby enters. Jen greets her.
Shelby? What are you doing here?
Shelby.
I woke up and couldn't get back to sleep, so I figured I'd come and help you run brunch service.
But Luke called. I assumed you were taking the day off.
When do I ever take days off?
Since never. But still, are you sure you're okay?
I'm fine. I'm sure.
And you're not, I don't know, upset at all? It's totally understandable after last night.
No, I'm okay. Honestly, the thing is, what I really feel is sorry for Rose.
Seriously?
Yeah, I know it's weird, but ever since I got back home last night, all I can think about is how awful it is that she has to live like that. Because of what my dad did, I grew up with so much, and she just grew up with so little. It's just unfair.
That is not your fault.
I know. I just wish there was something I could do for her. Actually, maybe there is something. When are you training the new staff?
First thing tomorrow morning.
You got room for one more?
Sure.
Shelby goes off. Now at the McHenry house. Thora lays in bed. She struggles to sit up. She looks out into the hallway. Thora.
Rose?
Now Rose is in the bathroom, washing blood off of her hands.
Is that you, dear?
Rose.
Yeah, Mom?
Are you okay? You were out all night.
Yeah, I'm fine. I just want to get a shower. We can talk after.
All right.
Thora returns to her room. Aerial shot of Rose's. The McHenry home, a little while later. Now Thora sits in the living room reading a book. Rose brings Thora tea and sets it on the end table beside her. Thora.
Feeling better?
Rose sits on the arm of the couch. Rose.
Yeah. Now.
Thora closes her book.
What happened last night?
Rose checks her phone.
Oh, it's Shelby. I should see how she's doing.
Of course.
Rose answers the call.
Hello?
Intercuts.
Hey.
Shelby.
It's me. Are you free this afternoon? Yeah, why? Can you come by my restaurant? There's something I'd like to talk to you about.
Later that afternoon, Rose arrives at Shelby's restaurant. From her car, Rose surveys the place.
She really does have everything.
Shelby waves from the entrance. Rose gets out of her car.
Welcome.
Thank you.
They enter the restaurant and Shelby gives Rose a tour of the kitchen.
So our focus here is sustainable farm-to-table, tail-to-snout cuisine.
And making it approachable.
Right. We want people to see that being conscious of where their food comes from doesn't mean sacrificing deliciousness.
Jen.
Plus, as you can see, everything in our kitchen is designed for maximum energy efficiency.
Rose.
It's a far cry from the diner.
Maybe, but goal's the same. Send people home full and happy.
This way.
Now they enter the dining room.
And this area is my specialty.
Jenna hasn't let a water glass get below half full since we opened.
And I aim to keep that streak up.
Jen is always here first in the morning.
And Shelby's always the last one here at night, prepping for the next day while us mortals are already in bed.
So, any questions?
Just one, actually. This is all really cool, but why are you telling me all this?
Well, we're expanding.
And we want you to join us.
It would just be as a server for now.
But like Jen said, we're expanding and we want to keep our personal touch.
So we'd also be training you to help me eventually on the managerial front.
Now, I know it's a long commute, but you'd be making way more and you'd only have to work one job. And besides, maybe we can get you and Thor a place around here.
Here is a contract I drew up.
Jen picks up a folder.
Start training you tomorrow.
But if you need more time to decide, that's totally fine. We'll figure something out.
Rose looks over the contract.
Wow. Sorry, I know it's a lot.
No, it's fine. I just need a minute. Where's the restroom?
Just down that way to the right.
Okay, thanks.
Rose goes off.
Guess I should hold off on that champagne, huh?
Flustered, Rose enters the bathroom and closes the door. Rose enters the bathroom and stands in front of the mirror at the sink.
Don't let her distract you with this.
She talks to her reflection.
She took everything from you. And now she wants you to be grateful for giving you a scrap back. You don't want a scrap. You want everything. Don't forget that.
Now back with Jen and Shelby.
I mean, didn't that seem a little weird?
Shelby.
Give her a minute. That was a lot to take in.
If you say so.
Rose returns. Rose.
Got a pen?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Jen hands Rose a pen. Rose signs the contract.
Sorry about that. I just needed a minute to wrap my mind around everything.
Well, this deserves a toast.
Oh, yes.
Jen presents them with a champagne bucket.
Okay. Let me open this.
Shelby takes out the bottle of champagne.
All right, will you do the honors?
She hands it to Rose.
My pleasure.
Rose wraps the bottle in a towel and uncorks it. Rose pours champagne for the three of them.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Okay.
Rose raises her glass.
Here's to getting everything you want.
Here, here.
Cheers.
They clink glasses. The three of them drink champagne. Exterior shot of the restaurant. Day slowly fades to night. Now the restaurant is closed. Jen.
Everyone else already gone?
Shelby.
Yeah, I told them they can go home. I can handle the prep for tomorrow's taste test on my own.
I gotta tell you, those new hires are coming right on time. I think that might have been our busiest night ever.
Yeah? Well, that sounds like one of those good problems to have.
True. So you want me to hang out with you while you prep?
Oh, no, you go home. It's been a long day. Besides, Luke is picking me up. I think he's a little spooked by this whole carjacking thing.
I don't blame him. Are you sure you don't want me to stick around?
Oh, I'm listening out.
Shelby answers her phone.
Hey, hon, I've got you on speaker. Can you please tell Jen to go home?
Luke.
Jen, go home. It's late.
Is this a thanks I get for helping you keep an eye on your girlfriend?
Your contributions are greatly appreciated, and your rest is well earned. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. I'll be there in 10 minutes.
All right. Bye, Luke.
Bye.
Thanks again, sweetie. I'll see you soon.
Shelby hangs up.
Okay. Good night.
Well, good night. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
Shelby prepares a mirepoix. She tastes something. Now she exits the kitchen to answer the restaurant phone.
Hello? Hello? Anyone there?
Shelby hangs up the phone. After a moment, Shelby returns to the kitchen.
Okay, where was I? A little bit of this.
Shelby's startled by the sound. She's on the alert.
Hello?
Shelby picks up her knife. Shelby moves quietly through the kitchen.
Hello?
Luke enters, scaring her. She nearly stabs him.
I'm so sorry.
What's going on?
I thought I heard... Never mind.
Shelby embraces Luke.
Hey.
Now at Shelby's house.
Hey, what's up?
Shelby takes off her coat. Luke.
Come on, you didn't say anything the entire ride home. When you almost shank a guy, you kind of owe him an explanation.
Look, it's not funny.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to cheer you up.
I know. You're very good at that.
I thank you. You can't tell me what's going on.
I don't even know. I felt fine all day, and then the second I'm alone, I just...
What?
Felt like I was right back in that moment. Alone.
You are not alone. You're gonna catch this guy, and you're gonna get past this. We're gonna get past this. Yeah?
Luke tickles her.
Yeah. There's that smile.
Luke kisses Shelby's hand.
Come on.
Oh.
The next day at the restaurant, in the office, Jen.
Congrats, you are officially on the schedule. Now, let's make sure I have everything I need. Okay, I've got your contact info, bank details, emergency contact. Oh, do you have any serious allergies?
Rose.
Nope.
Oh, you got lucky.
Lucky how?
Well, Shelby has a sesame seed allergy, so I thought it might be genetic.
You can be allergic to sesame seeds?
Oh, yeah. It's really bad.
Really?
We can't even keep them in the kitchen. Which reminds me, we keep our pen in the first aid
kit. On a shelf behind the desk.
Right here.
Jen takes the first aid kit from the shelf.
If, God forbid, she ever has an allergic reaction, you just take this.
She takes out an EpiPen.
Pop off the top and push it into her thigh until it clicks.
Well, how do I know if she's having a reaction?
Trust me, you'll know.
That bad, huh?
Yeah, but we make sure all our products are safely sourced, so you'll probably never have to see this again.
Jen puts the pen back and closes the first aid kit.
Over here.
She replaces it on the shelf.
I am really excited about this. I think you're going to be a great fit.
Me too. You know, I should just use the ladies' room before I go.
Oh, no problem. I got to get back to work. See you tomorrow.
See you then.
Rose heads back toward the office, looking over her shoulder as she goes. She enters the office. She takes the first aid kit from the shelf and plunks down in the desk chair. Rose opens up the first aid kit and removes the EpiPen. Later, Rose returns home with a shopping bag. She puts the bag on the kitchen counter. Then she takes a packet of sesame seeds from the bag. Rose takes a rolling pin and crushes the sesame seeds in the packet. She answers her phone.
Hi.
Shelby.
Jen told me someone's officially done with training.
Yeah, I'm all ready to go.
It's Aubrey. Maybe this weekend. You, me, Luke, Jen.
Maybe you can bring Travis. Oh, we broke up, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. He just wasn't getting the job done.
Well, it sounds like you're better off without him.
Yeah.
Rose looks at the packet in her hand.
I work better alone.
Meanwhile, Thora sits in her chair in the living room. Rose appears in her server's uniform, white shirt and black bow tie. Thora.
Let me get a look at you.
Rose.
What? I can't believe it. You look sharp.
Don't act so surprised.
You know what I mean.
Thanks, Mom.
You nervous? It's a big day.
Maybe a little.
You'll do fine. You're capable and prepared.
Yeah.
Later that night.
We're fully booked tonight, folks. Let's keep it moving.
In the busy kitchen.
Thank you, Chef. What's next on the line?
One salmon, two filet. That's five salmon, six filet all day.
Yes, Chef.
To Rose.
How's it going so far?
Rose.
Good.
Jerry, I needed that soup ready yesterday. I'm going to come and taste them too. Sorry, we're kind of in the weeds here.
No problem.
Shelby goes off.
Looking good. Simon, can you cut these up? I need them sauteed.
Once she's out of sight, Rose pulls the sesame seed packet from her pocket. Careful to make sure no one's looking, she pours the crushed seeds into the soup. Rose walks away.
All right, Jerry, let's taste that soup.
Now Shelby returns to the stove. Rose looks over her shoulder to see Shelby tasting the soup.
Very good. Very good, Jerry.
Shelby exits the kitchen, seemingly with no reaction. Rose dries glasses.
Chef, are you okay?
Rose turns and runs toward Shelby.
Shelby?
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 Shelby's having a reaction.
Can I get some help?
Jen sees Shelby.
Shelby.
Call an ambulance.
Rose to Jen.
Get her pen.
Jen runs to the office.
Okay, it's gonna be okay. Jen's coming back.
I got it.
Jen gets the pen and jabs it into Shelby's thigh.
It won't click.
Jen shakes the pen by her ear.
It's empty. I'm like, what do we do? Can we get some?
Her purse. She gave us a spare one in her purse. Bring me her purse.
Someone runs for Rose's purse. Jen grabs the new EpiPen from the purse, shakes it, and jabs it into Shelby's thigh.
Come on, Shelby.
Later, again at the emergency.
Shelby.
Baby.
Hey, baby.
Luke.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
What did the doctor say?
He said I'll be all right. They're just running some tests, be sure.
What?
Hey, I'm okay. I'm okay.
Well, what happened?
I had an allergic reaction after tasting some soup. There must have been a cross-contamination of some ingredient.
Jen and Rose stand behind him.
But you all are so careful.
Jen.
I mean, we are, but still there's a chance something slipped through. You know how sensitive she is.
It's true.
I'm so lucky these two were there.
Rose.
Oh, it was all Jen, really.
Don't be so modest.
Yeah, you being there really helped.
Thank you, both of you.
Of course. So, Shelby, you still didn't tell us. How was the soup?
Later, Rose returns home.
Mom?
There's a note on the mirror. Had a bad day. Lots of pain. Went to bed early. Shelby takes the note from the mirror. Rose stares at the note a moment, then looks up.
Do this for you. Promise.
Now at Shelby's house. Shelby enters the living room. She picks up the photograph and stares at it. Then Shelby makes a phone call. Shelby.
Hi, it's me. Are you free?
A short time later at a cemetery, Shelby places a rose on the headstone of Alan Parker. She rests a hand on the headstone. Now Rose joins Shelby at their father's gravesite. Shelby.
Thanks for meeting me here.
Yeah.
I thought you should know where he is.
Rose.
Thanks.
I just don't know what to think anymore. He was so good to me. But so awful to you. I knew him my whole life and... now all I can think is, who was he?
I felt the same way when he left.
Really?
Yeah. It's so confusing. Was he dead? Was he just traveling like he always did? Part of me even made up heroic reasons he was gone, like he was secretly a spy or something. Fighting the forces of evil. And then one day I realized I was never gonna know why he was gone. What really mattered was how I felt about it. I was 14 at the time. And I had my first job at a fast food place. So I took everything I'd earned, went to the mall, and bought this.
A charm bracelet with one long-stem golden rose charm.
Cost everything I'd earned. But it was worth it. Because it proved that I didn't need him.
They look at the headstone of beloved husband and father.
Thanks for bringing me here. I don't know if I'll come back. I don't know if you should either.
Rose walks away. Now back at the restaurant, Jen's in the kitchen. Luke.
Hello?
Jen.
I'm in here.
Luke enters the kitchen.
Hey, what's up?
Just getting things organized.
All by yourself?
I gave everyone the morning off. After last night, I thought they could use it.
Hey, that's decent of you.
Thanks. What brings you here?
Oh, I'm just here to pick up Shelby's purse. I had to run an errand and she asked me to stop by. Thanks.
We had to use the engine she keeps in there, so remind her to replace it.
I will do.
Luke grabs the purse.
Could you do me a favor?
Shoot.
Could you take out the trash on your way out?
Of course. I live to serve.
Luke bows.
Thanks.
See you soon.
Luke bends over to pick up the trash. He finds the sesame seed packet in the bag. He picks it up and looks at it. Luke makes a phone call.
Hi, can I speak to Detective Maples?
Now Rose walks along a breezeway looking down into the restaurant dining room. She sees Jen talking to Detective Maples. Rose makes a call. In her bedroom, Shelby's phone rings. Shelby, still in bed, reaches for her phone. Shelby.
Hello?
Rose.
Shelby, what's going on? The police are here. Luke found a bag of crushed sesame seeds in the restaurant.
Intercuts.
Oh my god. Do you think someone did it on purpose?
We don't know.
The doctor Maples is looking into it.
What do they think happened?
It's kind of impossible to say.
Allergic reactions can be instant or take a few hours. And you know how busy the kitchen gets. Anyone could have come in.
Even what?
Luke thinks it's the same guy.
From the carjacking?
I'm not sure it was a carjacking.
Well, what else could it be?
Well, he didn't go for my keys or my purse. He just went for me.
Maybe he was stalking me or he's got some sort of vendetta.
That's a scary thought.
The cops said that they were going to have a car parked outside my house whenever they can spare someone. Hopefully, we'll know more soon.
What do you mean?
They found prints on the bag.
Detective Maples said they should have the results in a day or two. Luke and I are
kind of under lockdown until then.
Good. Let me know if there's anything I can do.
Thank you for calling. I love you.
Rose pauses.
I love you too.
She ends the call. Later that night, Rose's house. Rose hurriedly packs a duffel bag. She's dressed entirely in black. She takes a small black case from a dresser drawer and puts it in her bag. Moments later, she enters the kitchen where her mother sits at the kitchen table.
Be back soon.
Thora.
Bye, dear. Love you.
Love you too, Mom.
Now Rose parks her car down the street from Shelby's house. From where she sits, she can see the police cruiser. Rose takes out her phone. Rose looks up a real estate website. Home Hunters. She searches for nearby homes. She finds one up for sale with the seller's name. Meanwhile, Luke works in Shelby's house. Shelby approaches.
How's it going there, handyman?
Luke.
Oh, it's going. Should have these cabinets done by the weekend.
Sounds good. I mean, you're a good hire.
Are you going to bed? Because I can be done tomorrow.
That's okay. I'm going to read for a little bit. 20 more minutes of cell time enough for you?
It's plenty.
All right.
I'll be right up.
Okay.
Shelby goes off. Now back in Rose's car. Rose pulls out a flip phone and turns it on. She looks at the real estate website. Rose makes herself hyperventilate and calls 911.
911, what's your emergency?
Please help me. My name is Becky Price. I'm at 865 Breaker Street.
The address of a home for sale.
Someone's breaking into the house. Please, please help me. He's coming.
Rose closes the flip phone. Then she opens it again and snaps it in half. She waits a moment. Then the cruiser's lights come on. Police pull away from in front of Shelby's house. Rose opens the small black case on the seat beside her and takes out a gun. Then she pulls on a ski mask. She picks up her duffel bag and gets out of the car. Meanwhile, Shelby lays on her bed reading. Luke is still at work downstairs. He turns on his saw. Shelby creeps in behind him. He turns and sees her, but she fires. The bullet goes through him. Upstairs, Shelby hears the shot. She looks out the window and sees no police car. Now Shelby calls 911.
Gunshot. I'm in my home. Please send the police. Hurry up.
Downstairs, Rose points her gun at Luke, who's wounded but not dead. He grabs her wrist. They struggle. Rose jams her hand into Luke's wound. Then she cracks him across the skull with her gun. Luke falls unconscious. Shelby moves through a dark hallway. She gets a baseball bat from the closet. Shelby moves through the hallway with the baseball bat poised to strike. Downstairs in Shelby's house, Luke lays motionless on the floor. Rose gets to her feet. Shelby creeps down the stairs with her baseball bat. The police arrive. Rose exits the house. Shelby comes downstairs and finds Luke. She drops the bat and runs to him. She pulls off her sweater and rolls it up, putting it under his head.
Baby, can you hear me? Luke, can you hear me?
She yells to the police.
He's over here! Luke, can you hear me?
Now Rose is in a back alley. She ditches her mask in a trash can. She takes out her phone and makes a call. Rose.
Hi, Mom. Can you... Actually, never mind. I gotta go.
Rose hangs up. Meanwhile, Shelby tries to revive Luke.
Can you hear me? It's me. It's me. You're gonna be okay. Okay.
Paramedics work on Luke. Meanwhile, in the alley, Rose makes another call. Jen answers her phone.
Hello?
Hi, it's Rose.
What's up?
I hate to bother you, but...
My car is broken down and Shelby isn't answering her phone.
Is there any way you could give me a lift?
Of course. Oh, thank you.
The cops are parked outside Shelby's house. Inside, Shelby watches the paramedics work on Luke. Detective Maples appears.
There's something we'd like you to look at.
Maples and Shelby go outside. Maples.
It's right over here. There's a car with an open handgun case sitting in the passenger seat. Do you recognize it?
That's my sister's car.
You're certain?
Definitely. Oh my God. You think that guy could have done something to her?
I don't know. We're gonna go over every inch of this car to find out.
Shelby looks into the car through the window. Now the trunk of Rose's car is opened with a pry bar. Detective Maples opens a storage compartment in the bottom of the trunk. Inside is Rose's bloodstained coat from when she killed Travis.
Get the CSIs over here to look at this.
Shelby.
Is that blood?
I think it is. But we'll have to do a test to be sure. Did Rose answer her phone yet?
No.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
You keep calling her.
Shelby calls Rose.
It's me again. Call me as soon as you get this.
She ends the call.
Rose.
Shelby checks her phone. A text from Jen. Come to your restaurant alone or Jen dies.
What?
A photo of a gun pointed at Jen, who's bound and gagged. Shelby replies, okay, I'm coming. Shelby looks at the photo, enlarging it. She sees the dangling golden rose charm on Rose's wrist. Flashback.
Proof that I didn't need him. Proof that I didn't need him.
Oh my God.
Shelby stares at the photograph. She runs to her car and jumps in. She starts the car and peels out of the driveway, leaving the crime scene. Now at the restaurant. Jen is bound and gagged in a chair. Rose.
Better hope she gets here soon. For your sake.
Jen struggles to free herself from her bindings. Now at the McHenry house, Shelby pounds on the door.
Thora! Thora, open up!
Thora opens the door.
Shelby? I need your help. What's wrong?
Miss Rose, she's done something crazy, and I need you to stop her before she goes too far. Please. Please, you're everything to her. Please. You're the only one who can help.
Back at the restaurant, Jen struggles to free herself from her bonds. Rose paces impatiently. Rose to Jen.
She's not here in 5 minutes.
She already is.
Rose whirls around, pointing her gun at Shelby.
Get over here.
Shelby stands with her hands raised.
Rose. There's no way you're gonna get away with this.
Shut up.
The cops.
Shut up!
Rose steps closer with the gun.
Just talk to me. I have nothing to say to you. Okay, fine. Don't listen to me. But maybe you'll listen to her.
Shelby steps aside, revealing Thora. Huh? Shelby tackles Rose.
Rose, stop!
They wrestle on the floor. Jen still struggles to get free. Thora moves forward.
Rose! Stop, Rose!
Thora.
Get Rose.
They stop wrestling and get up.
Thora, thank God.
Thora holds the gun.
Shut your mouth and stay right where you are.
Shelby stays on the floor. She looks up at Thora, surprised. Thora.
You okay, Rose?
Rose.
Yeah, Mom.
Rose stands beside her.
Sorry, I messed up tonight. It's fine, dear. Every plan needs a little improvisation.
Shelby.
You're a part of this.
Of course. What do you think gave her the idea? I always knew he had money somewhere. And that he had another woman. Another life. What I didn't know is why he left us for good. You. You were the reason. The reason he abandoned us. The reason why I had no one to rely on when I got sick. The reason why my daughter never had a decent chance at life. You. It was all because of you. He chose you over us, and we've been paying for it ever since. In a way, I'm glad that Travis and Rose failed at the tasks I gave them. Because now I get to kill you myself.
Glass smashes over Thora's head. Shelby and Rose go for the gun. Jen has freed herself. Rose has been shot in the stomach. Jen watches helplessly. Rose has been shot. She clutches her stomach. Rose collapses in Shelby's arms.
Rose.
Shelby gives Jen her phone.
Take this. Call an ambulance. Call an ambulance.
Jen calls an ambulance. Shelby tries to put pressure on Rose's wound.
Put pressure on it!
Rose.
If I asked you for money, would you have given it to me?
Rose closes her eyes. A little later, the restaurant is crawling with police and EMTs. Detective Maples approaches Shelby and Jen. Maples.
Don't worry about her. She'll be going away for a long time.
Good.
Just spoke to the hospital. Luke's awake and doing just fine.
Thank God.
Looks like the blood on the shirt we found in Rose's trunk belonged to the guy who first attacked you. My gut says they may have taken him out when he failed.
Jen.
Look, can we do this later?
Certainly. You've got my card. Call me whenever you're ready.
Jen to Shelby.
Are you okay?
Definitely not.
We'll figure this out. Together.
Shelby rests her head on Jen's shoulder. Sometime later, Shelby's house. Luke and Shelby enter. Luke.
You know, sometimes you're just too sweet to me.
Impossible.
Luke's arm is in a sling.
I cleaned the den a bit, but your tools are right where they were. So when you're ready, you can pick up right where you left off.
Sounds good. There's just one thing I need to get out of the way first.
Shelby turns to take her coat off. Luke goes down on one knee. Luke holds open a ring box with an engagement ring inside.
Luke.
I've had this ring for a long time. When I woke up in the hospital, I told myself that I would do this the very next chance that I got. So, Shelby Parker, will you?
Yes!
Luke gets up. They kiss.
I love you.
I love you too.
Okay, let me do it.
Shelby puts the ring on her finger.
I'm sorry, this isn't exactly the proposal of your dreams.
Nonsense. It's perfect. I couldn't have asked for more.
Well, you probably shouldn't go into the living room.
They enter the living room where Jen and the other staff are waiting.
Surprise! We're engaged! Woo! Cheers, everyone!
Thank you!
Jen.
I love it. I told you I knew he would come to his senses sooner.
Jen may have helped me with ring shopping.
Maybe.
I'm so lucky to have you guys.
Shelby hugs Jen and Luke.
You're all the family I need.
They have champagne.
I love the song. Jen bought some party food.
Jen dances.
Shall we? You ready to do these dance moves?
Luke starts dancing. Jen enters the room and clinks glasses. Everybody parties. Back to being the trouble that we used to be. Credits. I don't want it. You can't have me. You had your time, so now you gotta learn about the way I'm supposed to be. I don't want to be concerned with you. Bottom bound, bottom bound, bottom bound, bottom. Boy, you had me jumping through hoops like a six gun for you. Giving you tears, times it feels great. Now come to realize that I'm
show me your true colors.